tonight.
Hello, cocktail lovers. Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by the 52 Martinis Guide to Paris Cocktail Bars. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about cocktailing in the French capital and bring you other small batch spirits news from France and beyond. And this month, I'm super excited because we have a very special guest here. It's a friend of mine, but she is also a wine educator and an all-around pretty awesome lady to chat with about wine and spirits and drinks. It's Tanisha Townsend of the site Girl Meets Glass. She also does some wine education with tours, and I'm going to let her explain a little bit more about her projects and what she does. So welcome to the studio, Tanisha.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what you do and how they can kind of become more familiar with your work or even get involved in some of the courses or some of your learning?
Okay, so I do a little bit of everything. I do food and wine tours, wine and cheese tours, wine and cheese tastings, whiskey tastings. I teach a course at a university. I have a podcast. I do a couple of videos. I like to drink wine.
That's why we like each other. Yes. Tanisha and I had a really good time this last fall. We were at the Salon de Vignerons Indépendants, and we did a lot of wine research together on Bordeaux, because both of us are a little more familiar with some of the other regions more than Bordeaux. So I think we found that we don't have anything against Bordeaux. We like it.
We kind of got back into it.
Yeah, I think so too.
We said that so many people, I guess when they come to parties, they bring bad Bordeaux.
Right.
I don't think they know it's bad, but it's not so good Bordeaux. And I wanted to like it again. So
I did too. And I think we succeeded. I think we found that we liked to, we were happy with the 2015, 2016, the 10. I think that's the ones we liked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, so we had a good time. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
Okay.
And we are here to talk about, okay, for those of you listening who don't know, and don't know Tanisha. Tanisha's a woman. Tanisha's also black. I only bring that up because we're going to talk a little bit about being women in the industry, being black in the industry, mm-hmm. and just kind of see where that goes. So first of all, I had a podcast about a year ago, and it was kind of before the Me Too movement, but there was already sort of rumblings about, I don't know, females in the industry and their treatment, and I really had a hard time deciding whether or not I was going to go forward with doing a podcast that featured the topic women in the industry, because I felt like, is that like making a big deal of it? Should we just say, hey, like let women get on, or should we call attention to it? So that is kind of like, what do you think about that? That's my first question to you. Do you feel like we should be like, come on, go women, or just turn a blind eye and let women, I don't know.
I understand how you could think both things, because on one hand, you want to call attention to it because so many people don't think it goes on. But then on the other hand, you don't want to take away from women's achievements and the amazing things that they're doing, running bars, opening establishments, and, you know, just making great strides. You don't want to take away from that or overshadow that with something else.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, and I also, I mean, aside from just saying we should push women to the forefront, I do like supporting my girlfriends and the awesome things they're doing. So I think that is reason enough just to be talking about my lovely girlfriends and their projects. So I'm going to dive right into it. Why don't you tell me how you feel about working as a woman in the industry and working as a black woman in the industry? And can you separate them? Do you get different kinds of treatment for, you know, each classification? Or, you know, I don't want to be like ask weird questions or be insensitive, but it's a super interesting topic for me. So just tell me if I say something out of line.
No, and we're friends, so.
Okay, good.
Ask away.
All right.
It depends. And I say that because being black, I'll start with that first, because being here in France, that actually doesn't matter as much because I'm American. And I found that very odd because I came with the attitude of, okay, it's going to be extra hard for me. I'm a woman. I'm black. How is this going to work? But as soon as I start speaking, people are like, oh, vous êtes American? And I'm like, yeah. And then it's like, okay, it's like, oh, come here. I want to talk to you about this. Let's go drink this. You should taste this. It is this whole big, exciting, they're excited thing because of the American connection. Also, I really stand out here. Whenever I'm at a wine tasting or anything, I am the only black person, period. Woman, man, boy, girl, whatever, old person, young person, it's just me. And so people always want to know, well, who was that? is she okay? What, does she belong here? Like, I've had people ask me, like, one guy walked up to me, this was last year, maybe like September, October, at a tasting. And he just tapped me on the shoulder and he said, bonjour, où êtes-vous? And I was like, what? And so he was like, why are you here? I said, I looked around, I'm like, to taste wine. I don't know why we would be having this conversation. There's wine everywhere. I'm here to taste it. Oh, well, where do you work? I said, why? Are you the police? And then his friends laughed. And then I just turned back around to the table I was at and then just asked the guy, okay, can you pour me the next wine, please? Because I had been speaking to him in English. I had started in French. I got exhausted too much. You know how it is. And so I started speaking to him in English. And so then when the guy heard me say this to him in English, he's like, oh, you're American. Oh, okay. And then he went on and went to whatever else he was doing. And so I'm like, why couldn't I be here if I wasn't American? Like, the fact that I made it this far. I have a glass. I have the tasting booklet. I didn't sneak in. It's not covert operation. I'm not a ninja.
And even if it was, what does he think you're going to do? You're going to, like, I don't know.
Right. It's a tasting.
Sneak into a wine tasting.
And grab a bottle and throw it in my purse. No, I didn't have my big purse that day. So it wasn't going to work out. So, like, little things like that, you know, kind of just stick out in my mind a little. But overall, it's not as much of a problem here, the black part. Now, the women part, being a woman, that's kind of weird here. Because I have heard, not against me, but just in general, I have heard some comments that wouldn't fly in America, like, about women. I was at Cocktail Spirits and at a presentation there. And there were women speaking, and there was a guy moderating the panel. And he was like, oh, I actually didn't think you all would work out, two weak women. Like, how are you going to have a bar? And I took my headphones off because I had on the translator headphones. I took my headphones off like, wait a minute. Did I just hear that correctly? And so women kind of looked weird, but the men were, you know, the men laughed. And I'm like, I don't know what's funny about that. And then somebody tapped me because they knew me. And they were like, they would never be able to say that in America. I was like, they wouldn't even dream of saying that on a stage. Now, I will say this. The moderator was clearly drunk. So that also has something to do with it. And I think when it comes to our industry, a lot of things are overlooked and passed over because people are drinking. So when you drink, you say certain things that, oh, I didn't mean that. I was drunk. And you can kind of get away with it, so to speak, or people will overlook it.
I think that's probably true. I think there's a lot of talk about that, which is a separate topic, but also really worth looking at, which is kind of drinking in the drinks industry. And, you know, it's kind of a joke. I had a few too many, this and that. So yeah, maybe it is worth something. It is worth, like, kind of taking a harder look at that and remembering that, you know, you're in the drinks profession, but you should still be a professional, which is sometimes hard to do after a few cocktails. I certainly know.
Yes. But I've been there.
But yeah, we've all been there. We've all been there. But I think that's why maybe discussions like this and other discussions around how you comport yourself professionally are important, because it never hurts to have that little reminder that, you know, there's people around here, there's people that are listening. And these days, it can be detrimental to say the wrong thing because, you know, in the days of social media and how easy it is to record things and how easy it is to diffuse things, it can be a big deal. Yeah. For sure.
And there are some instances where people do get a little loose in the mouth when they've had something to drink. And there are times where they don't really mean it. Then there are times when things that they have always felt, they just feel more free to say them after a few cups of gin.
Yeah.
But I think that it's important that instead of, you know, sending out mean tweets or telling all of our friends, if you know that person or have any kind of association with that person, I think you just need to tell them straight up.
For sure.
Not send out a tweet and say what happened or, you know, go behind their back. There are some times where people say things and they don't realize they're being offensive, or they realize it and no one has said anything to them before. So they're like, it's fine.
Right.
If you don't tell them, how will they know?
Yeah. I think that's good advice, people. Let's try to take the constructive action first before we get all mean, tweety, and you know how that road goes. So let's talk about how it has maybe been beneficial to you, because I know personally that that, you know, I started off writing, so all I was doing was writing, and people would see my name, and pretty much everybody always thought I was a guy when I would see tweets about me, or, you know, I've been quoted in the New York Times as Mr. Collins, and
oh no,
I was like, oh, no. You know, I had to say, by the way, I'm a miss, because things have been done by email. And it's been very easy for people to mistake me for a man in the past. Hopefully those of you listening aren't mistaking me for a man now. But anyway, so I think that I've felt very little resistance due to the fact that I'm a woman because, you know, I'm kind of quietly behind the scenes and it was my writing that was up front first. But then I think is because as I became more well-known, it was both a benefit and a detriment. It was a benefit because, again, like you were saying, when I started writing about bars, it was a decade ago, and there was very few women hanging around in the bars. And so I'd be like, oh, yeah, that one American woman there, that's Forrest Collins. That's the only American woman running around drinking a bunch of martinis. Also, it's not so good because I like to be not recognizable when I go into bar because I like to have the treatment that somebody that, you know, isn't going to write about them would get. So that's been my experience. It's been good, bad, you know, a kind of a mixed bag, but I carry forward. So how do you feel? Like, tell me about how it's been beneficial to you, and not just in terms of being recognizable, about also relating with your audience, or, you know, with any of your customers, clients, tour participants.
As far as with my tour participants, they just know that I'm about to do a wine tour. So they just out the gate are excited. They're like, okay, we're going to have wine. How much? Okay, what are we going to drink? Where are we? So they're just like super excited. But as far as like the industry and being here, I do like the fact that when I first came, I was kind of anonymous. It's like people going about their business and don't really pay that much attention to you. As I started to go to things more often and start seeing kind of the same people, then it was like, okay. Like, even though I was the only one there, people kind of look, but then they wouldn't remember the next time that I was the same person that they saw before. So
did they think it was a different black person coming right to each event?
Because we all look alike. So they just didn't know. But as time went on, and now people are starting to see me, I'm starting to get myself out there more. I can speak a little French, and so I can have conversations with people. I think it's a good thing. People want to help. People know that I work largely with an English-speaking audience, mainly Americans, and that's the audience they want to reach. And so if they can use me, so to speak, to reach them, then they're fine with that.
Great. Do you see any general, I always hate to generalize, but when you're working with groups or you're doing wine education or tours or tastings, do you see any kind of like general differences in black versus white and the way that they taste and the way that they talk and
the things that
they choose? Okay, yes! Let's talk about it.
Yes. My friends and I joke about this all the time. And it's just a running joke. Black people really like sweet things. And if you look at what we eat and drink just in general in our lives, it's sweeter. We drink a lot of pop because I'm from Chicago. We drink Kool-Aid, all these different juices, all of our food, we put sugar in it. And so just our palates naturally lean toward sweetness. Whereas others, and I don't even want to generalize and pick each one, others lean a little drier as far as what they like. So while you have Moscato and sweeter Rieslings on one side, then I have other people that are asking me for the Bordeaux and the California Cabs and, you know, the Pinot Noirs and things like that. I'm always, and I try to figure out how to get a happy medium. There are a couple of wines that I can serve where I can get it right in the middle. But usually it's more this group likes sweeter whites and then this group likes medium to dry red. So it's hard to find a medium in there. Gamay is a good one that I'll serve, especially when it's chilled. Or a Chenin Blanc from like Vouvray, that works too.
Great. Oh, anything else that you feel like that you've learned kind of in either of the categories, being a foreigner in France, being a woman, being black, that you've learned through your tastings?
I've learned to be a little more confident, not a little, a lot more confident, just like in myself and owning myself, my space, my experience, and where I am, and not allowing anything else to diminish me or make me feel smaller or anything like that. I am supposed to be here. I am qualified to be here. So whatever someone else says, I can't let that, I don't let that affect me.
Good. And I think that you're right. And I think that that's paid off because I think I've known you since kind of early on when you first arrived mm-hmm. and you have, like, you're doing all these new amazing things. I mean, you've just done nothing but grow, and now you've got the podcast. And has that come out already? Is it?
I just got the teaser in my email. I haven't even heard it yet.
So. Very exciting. So can you tell us who the first guest is, or is that a secret, or?
There are a few guests.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to give too much away.
There are a few guests.
I'll bug you about that later. You can tell me about it later. Very good. Now, I know that we've talked about this before, but you did a presentation on cognac and hip-hop, right?
Yes. Hip-hop's influence on the world of wine and spirits.
Okay. Can you I think that's a super interesting topic,
I
think it's great because, you know, there's all these people that talk about cognac, and they don't really, like, recognize the influence that hip-hop had in renewing, I guess, an interest in it, maybe internationally, maybe not domestically here in France, mm-hmm. But even bars like Le Syndicat now, who focus on French ingredients, they basically have this hip hop soundtrack, mm-hmm. and it's in a nod to that, to, you know, kind of say, hey, you know, hats off. This is what kind of renewed an interest in this. Can you talk to the listeners about that and your experience, your thoughts, et cetera?
That whole presentation came about because I moved here initially to guest lecture at a school here. And the class was luxury wine and spirits, and people all agreed on Chateau Neuf de Pape and some of their Grand Cru Bordeaux and things like that. They said tequila, no, not luxury. And I said, oh, okay, well, cognac. And they were like, cognac? Where do you, 65? I was like, no, like everybody drinks cognac. They were like, no one drinks that except our grandparents.
Right.
And so I was like, wait. So I did a little research and found out, okay, like 90% of cognac is exported.
That's crazy.
Then did some more research and found out that Americans are drinking it, and then it's African-Americans, and most of their representatives and brand ambassadors are rappers. So as I studied more, then came up with cognac, of course, then a lot of mentions of tequila, mm-hmm. whether it's Patron or Cuervo. Then that moved into it being featured in lyrics. Then that moved into some of them becoming brand ambassadors, owning their own brands, and then kind of how that all tied together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just fascinating to me as to how rap is mostly about aspirational living and trying to get to a certain point or live a certain way. And for them to think of cognac and champagne as being this amazing thing because it was French, essentially. Mm-hmm. That was fascinating to me. So I put together a presentation and have presented it in a few places. So I'm looking for a venue. Maybe I can do it here one day.
I know. Well, you know, I'm interested in seeing that presentation. So we're going to talk one of these days about trying to get a little event going with that because
yes.
I think it's a very interesting topic. I think it's very interesting about how this kind of cross-pollination between arts, not, I mean, I guess if you can consider distillation and art, but also music and this cross-cultural pollination and how cognac is seen in France versus in the U.S. I mean, to me, it's all really super fascinating. So I look forward to hearing more about that indeed.
Sure thing.
Do you have any favorite cognacs?
Oh, gosh. I like Frappin.
Okay.
I like that one, and I want to get the pronunciation right. Mucao?
Okay. Oh, that's the one with the panther on the bottle?
Yes, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one. I've been to their distillery. Yes, I quite like that one, too.
Yeah, every time they have the tasting at the Louvre, the Grand Tasting, mm-hmm. Then they have a cognac section, like a full cognac session with all of them, with the VSOPs, the XOs. And I always kind of go there first and just stand there and drink everything.
Yeah.
Excuse me, taste everything.
Taste everything. Taste but that's everything. That's good advice to the listeners, too. If you want to learn a little bit more about it, check out this. I'll put links to it in the show notes. But Tanisha makes a good point with the Grand Tasting at the Louvre and then also we did some cognac tasting. We did some Armagnac tasting. Which did we do when we were at the wines show? I can't remember. It was at the end of our tasting. So
I think we did both.
Yeah, we probably did both. We did a little cognac and Armagnac. So if you want to learn a little bit more about those kind of spirits, it's nice to be able to do it at the wine shows and the big salons like that, because otherwise it's really hard to amass a collection of cognacs to taste all the different ones, and or even in a bar to order all the shots. So
yeah, that's definitely a good way to try things. Most wine shops have like tastings,
yeah,
and definitely do a little research to see what wine shops in your neighborhood or your area have tastings on the weekends. You can taste some wine there. A lot of times they will open up some spirits as well. If you are a loyal and faithful customer, you can always ask, yeah. Oh, well, what's this? I've never had this before. Wink a couple of times. Maybe they'll open it and let you try it.
You never know.
You don't. Try
being nice
it.
Can get you places.
Absolutely.
So. Very good. Good. Well, have you got anything exciting coming up that you want to tell our listeners about?
No, just the podcast. And
you're going to Madeira soon, right?
I'm going to Madeira.
What are you
going
to do there?
Drink Madeira.
Good.
Yeah, drink Madeira. And then maybe some port and then some other Portuguese wines and stuff like that. I don't even have the itinerary for the trip. Yep. I just signed up and good. Was like, okay, let's do it.
Good. Right on.
I'll figure it all out later.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Do you have any tips you want to share with our readers in terms of favorite bars or favorite wine shops? Listeners. Our listeners.
They'll read the show notes. It's fine.
Exactly.
That's my favorite wine shop. I really like La Dernière Goutte.
Mm-hmm. And they do tastings there too.
They definitely do tastings. They also hold a couple of wine classes as well.
Right.
Wine bar, L'Extra Brut, is in the 9th, all champagne.
I just heard about that. In fact, I think it was maybe Thierry who was on my show months ago. Yeah. He mentioned it. Because he came on to do the Gros Champagne. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, I'm definitely going to have to check this one out because champagne. Everybody keeps, well, not everybody, but a few people mentioned it to me now.
These two people are everybody.
Exactly. You two people are like my two wine people. So if you're saying it's worthwhile, then I definitely need to go. All right. I'm probably getting close to finishing time here. So before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to add about being female, about being black, about being American, about just being in the industry and not any of those topics?
That was so broad. I don't know what to
say. I know.
That
was a really, really bad interview question. Just like, okay, I have nothing more to say. Please talk, Tanisha.
Right. Live your best life.
Oh, that's great advice. All right. Okay. I won't force you to answer such a blanket statement like that. Why don't you tell the listeners where they can follow you on Instagram and all of that good stuff?
You can find me everywhere at Girl Meets Glass. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That's my website. I post cool pictures and videos on Instagram and Facebook posts now and then. And YouTube channel. I'll be doing some cooking and wine pairing on my YouTube channel.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Because I actually don't know how to cook.
So you're going to learn how to cook and do some.
Okay. Right. So the fun part would be I'll be drinking.
Right. That always makes it easier to learn stuff and also deal with failure. So that's good.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Tanisha, very much for coming down and being on the show. And also just because, it's nice to see you. So much appreciated.
Thank you.
And that is pretty much a wrap for this month's episode. As usual, we will put links to the things we talked about and all of Tanisha's social media accounts and her site in the show notes. So take a look at that. And additional thanks to World Radio Paris for editing and production. Thank you to Emily Dilling of Perry Paysan for show notes and web assistance. Don't forget, she also has a blog, a book out, and a podcast of her own. And thank you to Sun Little for the music that we use. And as usual, we remind you to drink responsibly. And finally, just a second to remind you all that we really like getting iTunes reviews, just because it makes it feel like I'm not doing this for nothing. As much as I like to do it, and I like to talk to my guests, it's nice to know that I'm doing more than just shouting into a void. So if you leave a little review, tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like. It helps us, and it also makes it easier for other people to find the podcast. So be much appreciated if you could do that. Otherwise, until next time, cheers. In the river, darling, you'll start to shiver about it.